Jesus, we learn and we get more of the of who he is. We get more of who he is. And in fact, there's a Pastor S.M. Lockridge. Dan's going to show us a video, and I love the way he explains it.
The Bible says my king is a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings.
Yes.
And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed Amen. The horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. Yeah. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting.
Man.
His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well,
yes,
you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him.
Hallelujah. That's our King. That's our King. Amen. That's our Jesus. That's our Jesus. Praise God. I wish I could put it like that. He just did it just on the money. So I had to show that. You know, Jesus is everything. It's all about Jesus. We could come up with all these ideas and thoughts and what we should do and do it this way and that way, but it all boils down to Jesus, who is real. It's not just a name. It's not just a thing that the church has put out. This was a real man who came from the real heaven, who's a real God, who became a real man, who became a baby infant, who allowed himself to grow up, who allowed himself to be suffered and die on the cross for us. There was a purpose of what he did and why he did, and it all goes back to him. There was a group in the Corinthian church called the Essenes. The Essenes was a group of, it was a Jewish sect that were very, very, they were very, very strict. They did not allow themselves to drink anything that tastes good. They only drank water. They only ate once a day because they didn't want to make a body full of gluttony. They didn't eat anything that tasted good because it would bring pleasure. And they were doing this to please God, to please to please Jesus. And they were walking around hitting themselves whenever they had a bad thought. They'd punish themselves, and they were trying to be, and they were doing this for Jesus. But one of their biggest mistakes is that while they were doing this, they were also judging others who did not think like them. And they started judging Paul and the church and saying, you guys are meeting on Saturday. You shouldn't do that. It's supposed to be on Saturday, not on Sunday. And then he was judging. I saw you guys eating that good food. That's wrong. You're eating the meat from the sacrifice. That's wrong. And they started pushing all these rules and regulations and thoughts that maybe the Spirit dealt with them with, and they were supposed to go. I don't know. That's between them and God. But it wasn't scriptural. It wasn't in the Word. And then Paul reminded them. Paul in Colossians chapter 2, he says, when you were dead in your sins and in the incircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us of our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Let me repeat another way. There's going to be a judgment day. The Word says it. There's going to be a day that when we leave this earth, our soul, our spirit, everything who we are going to come up face to face with God the Father, and we're going to see Him eye to eye. And He's going to judge us. It's a judgment day. And He's going to look at us. And the thing is, He already knows what we did in our life. And so do we. We're going to remember. It's just going to flood our mind. We're going to remember every time we failed Him. Every time when we the Spirit of God told us to do something and we shrugged it off and said, I'm going to do it my way. And just because there may not been no immediate repercussion, we figured, I can do this. And we live life without God. I don't need Him. What? I did this and I didn't fall down dead. I can just keep on doing what I want. And everything's going to flood our minds. And we're going to stand in front of this judge, God. And if you think the wrath of God is not, please go back and read the Old Testament. The wrath of God is pretty rough. I mean, He annihilated generations of people. He wiped cities off the earth because of sin. God is serious about this. But we're going to come up with this, all the sin that we've done and we committed. We tried our best, and I don't care how well you tried. We fall short of the glory of God, and we're going to face the wrath of God. And then Jesus steps in. And then Jesus steps in. He died on the cross. He paid for our sins. He said, please accept my payment. And we've accepted Him in our heart. And we came back, and that's the only reason, the only reason we won't be annihilated at the time we're in front of God the Father. And He sees us, and Jesus is with us. And He says, I've paid the price for their sin. And I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. I mean, thank you. It, without Jesus, it would have been a horrible death. I mean, hell is real. He talks about it. It would have been a hellish, horrible death without Jesus. And so we go back with Jesus. We can have the plans. We can have all these good rules, and all the rules sound good, and you should wear a tie, and you should give it your best. And there's so many well-meaning rules that we put on each other. But don't ever forget, it's about Jesus. Because when Jesus gets out of our life, and when we push Jesus aside, we're destined for a horrible face with the Father. That's why it's so needed that we accept Him. That's why some of your friends, they may be getting away with stuff and living their life without Jesus and managing it and making it. But your friends, your family, our loved ones, if they do not know Jesus, there is a horrible, horrible penalty of death that the Bible talks about. And that's why Jesus stepped into here, so we don't have to face that. That's why we can liberally say, thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Father. I praise you, Jesus. And we can, and that's why Jesus is just so important. He, the Savior, that's what Savior means. He literally saved us. He saved us. Verse 18 goes, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and worship of angels disqualify you. Such are persons also who are great detail about what they've seen, and they puff up with the idle notions by the unspiritual mind. He goes, don't let people who hold all these rules, because they've lost connection with the head. They've lost connection with the head, who is Jesus, from whom the whole body supported. They're going on and they're putting Jesus aside and saying, you got to do this to be saved. You got to do that to be saved. You notice they're worshiping of angels? That was kind of interesting. I don't know if you caught that, but it says, verse 18, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels. The worship of angels is when someone feels that they cannot go to Jesus, so they go tell this angel to go tell that angel to go tell the mama to go tell the son, Jesus, would you please help me? And he says, don't get tied up in all that. The Bible says there's only one mediator between us and the Father, and that's Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, come to me. Here, I will hear you. I will bless you. I will answer your prayers. You have not only the right, but the obligation and the power, the strength, because of what Jesus did, that we can go straight to him. We can go straight to Jesus. I know there's times when we feel weak and we ask for somebody to pray for us. And there's times when we're stumbling a little bit and we need to lift each other up in prayer. But don't ever forget. Don't ever forget there's nothing you can do so that Jesus will turn his ear away from you. When you ask for forgiveness and when you ask for help, when you ask for his guidance, he'll be there. He will be there. He will hear you. He is there. That's Jesus. That's what he's there for. That's what he comes. You know, Paul reminded us about standing in front of the king in that judgment day. This past week, I was in the courthouse, and I was standing with my daughter, who had made a mistake years and years and years ago, and now things have caught up as they always do, and my daughter knows, I know, my wife knows. She's as guilty as can be. And we're standing before a judge that has the authority to take her away from her child, away from her job, away from her family, and put her in a cell. In fact, that's almost the responsibility. And we were scared. We were scared this past week. And we're praying. It's like, Lord, you know. You see, you know, we can go back, honey, why did you do it? And none of that mattered. What mattered right now is we were in that spot. And she's amazingly has come out of that lifestyle. She's come out. She's doing fantastic now. She's being blessed by God. God has blessed her. She's built her relationship with the Lord. But the fact remains that years and years ago, she did that deed. And we were scared. And as we're coming up over this, I said, man, build that up 1,000-fold when we know what we've done and we're standing in front of God Almighty. Please, I beg everyone who hears my voice right now live in the internet, however which way, please do not attempt to do that. Do not attempt to approach the God, the Father, the creator of all universe without Jesus. It will not work. Please don't do that. But when you have Jesus in there, the salvation is there. The protection is there. Not only does God, Jesus, help us on this earth, but we're talking about all of eternity. But all of eternity. This is a huge thing that God is talking. You know, the false religions, they belittle Jesus. They belittle Jesus. The Jehovah's Witness, they'll say, oh yeah, Jesus, he was a very good archangel. He was a good prophet. The Mormons, they'll say, yeah, yeah, Jesus was God, but hey, don't worry, you can be God too. You can have your own universe. So they raise us to the level of Jesus. Then you get the Muslims, we'll get Jesus and put him down. Oh, he was a good prophet, good guy, real good prophet, real good guy. But they miss what Jesus, who he is and what he does. Even the world, they'll say, oh, he's a higher power. He's a real good guy. He's got good vibes. Real good man, yeah. And so they're not going to condemn Jesus in front of us because they know that we'll chase him out, but they belittle him. A false religion belittles Jesus. A false mentality will belittle Jesus. A false thought will tell us that we can live life without Jesus. We can do it on our own. And all those are false. Because it was Paul wrote that the whole everything, all the fullness of the deity of Jesus was all within that fleshly body. The deity, the fullness of God. Jesus was God. And the fullness of deity lives in the body of Jesus. Jesus was God. And God gave us the opportunity to come down to know him. You know, I'm praying. We're praying for you guys. Praying for your strength. We're praying for your faith, for your healing. And I keep coming back, and I said, but Lord, Lord, give me a soul changing message, and just something that'll wow, this is Jesus, and I can't get away from Jesus, and I can't get enough of putting him that enough. Question is, do you think you know everything there is to know about Jesus? Do we know everything? Is he a subject that, okay, we know enough now, let's talk about something else? There never will be. There can't be. Because Jesus is just so much in depth. The more you look, the more layered, the more you realize of who you are in him. And the more we realize of how we can hate sin. How every time we sin, yeah, we got grace, we got forgiveness, okay. But every time we sin, we come short of the glory of God, we hurt our Jesus. After everything what he did for us, we belittle that by sinning. You see, grace is something not so much that I can swim around and do what I want, but it's something so that I can realize that I hate sin. Ugh. I messed up again. Lord. Ugh. And we can always go to him. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I almost called this, almost titled the message, Me, Myselfie, and I. I thought it was pretty catchy, but it wasn't. I didn't do that. But I had to mention it. It says, in the last days, this is things that's going to happen. You know, I truly believe the last days are very, very near. I mean, we see it in politics. We see it in the world. We see it in the sky. I know in all of history, there's always been hurricanes. There's always been tornadoes. There's always been earthquakes. And they've always been recorded, but it seems like it's just getting more and more and more and more powerful, more things. And things are happening. We got to be blind to not think that God isn't doing something here. I mean, we don't see it, but there are Christians who have blades to their head who are saying, deny Jesus, and they don't, and they get their head cut off. There's hundreds of Christians in the Eastern and other parts of the world that are really naturally, literally dying of the things that we read about. But it doesn't happen to us, so okay, maybe it's not the world. But look what else happens at the end times. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiven, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with these people. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, he says, in these last days. Now that very first one, lovers of self, that pretty much describes everything else that goes on. And, I mean, we make pages and put it on the internet to tell about me, to tell about myself. I want everybody to know about me, what I'm like, what I'm doing. Now I'm eating over here. I'm going over there. They call it Facebook or Skype or the internet or this and the other. But it's this guy, and I'm not preaching against all that. And that's just a tool that it can be used any which way that the heart has it in them. But it's funny seeing so many people that all they do is talk about me. What about me? It's about me, a lover of myself. When Jesus is saying, it's not about you. In fact, you know what? I want your life. Give me your life, and I will let you live. Jesus said, no, it's about him. It's about Jesus. It's about helping people understand and know Jesus so they can get into salvation. It's not about me. It's not about us, me, myself, and I. It's not about that. People are coming to church. People are coming to church, and if they don't feed the me, if I don't feel good when I leave, if you didn't say something good to me, if somebody didn't say hi to me, if they didn't address me, if they didn't give me enough hugs and attention, I'm not going back to God's house. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about God. It's the lovers of self. And you know what's scary? Is that Paul was telling Timothy about this, not about the world. He says that in the church this will happen. And that we'll be so used to it, that it won't seem like a big deal. Somebody tells you, I'm not going to your church again. They didn't even say hi. Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. I'm not going there either then. And we're just so used to it. You know what? Did you realize what was in the middle of all that stuff when they're talking about murdering and slanderous? And then they said disobedient to children. I mean, to parents, children being disobedient to parents. They put that as one of these. And I had to confess. I had to repent. I go, so what's the big deal? It's always like that. I mean, I'd be surprised if a child is very obedient to their parent. And I'm kind of surprised. And I looked at that and I had to repent because I realized how callous I've been of just getting used to that. Whether it's the TV, the media, the this, the other, but we see it so often that all these sins that Paul is telling Timothy are horrible in the terrible times is stuff that we're seeing and we're almost getting used to it as a church instead of stepping against it and making a correction to it. He says in 1 Peter chapter 2, as you come to him, the living stone, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also are living stones, are being built in the spiritual house. Please hear me. Please hear the word of God. I'll read it again. As you come to the living stone, Jesus, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, we're talking about Jesus, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. While I was reading that, the Lord just gave me a visual of this. God chose people to be in this church. God has chosen people to be in the church at Covington, this church. He has chosen people. And he created you. He knows how you think. He knows the gifts you have. He knows the need that's going to be there. He knows what you're going to need, and he knows what you can provide and what you can minister. Even if it's just your smile. There's so many beautiful smiles here. It's your presence. It's your time just to come up and says, hey, I'm glad to see you. Whatever your gift is, God has placed you and perfectly put you in the wall of the church and has placed you in the wall of the church and has built you in different areas. Jesus is the cornerstone, and from that pinpoint, we're all going out and we're being placed in the wall. The Bible is saying that in the end times, people will be lovers of self, and because their self is not being gratified, pulling that out, and I'm going to go somewhere else. And I see these holes in the wall. And that does a couple of things. It not only weakens the walls, but it puts double amount of pressure on the bricks that are still there. But that's okay, because God's there with us. He's the cornerstone. It will not fall down. It will not fall down, because God, Jesus, is the cornerstone. It will not fall down. What I'm encouraging you is that we need you where God has placed you. Now, God has moved people out and put them into other buildings and put them just right where they need to be, and praise God, because God knows what he's doing. And if that's what God is doing, he's getting another brick and he'll fill that hole. And if that's what God is doing, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm trying to say, that if God has called you to be part of this church, I plead with you, stay firm. Stay firm. Be there. You are important. You are so important. We are needed. We are needed. You are needed. Be there. God's going to fill it up. And when he raises us up, I want you to know, at the end of these ages, when we meet Jesus, when we meet God face to face, and instead of that wrathful God, he sees Jesus by our side. And he sees Jesus by our side. And he sees the lack of sin and the sin that has been paid already, and he receives us. And then they talk about the judgment of blessings for standing firm. I remember this analogy. This guy was dragging this 200-foot rope, and he was dragging it up like this. And it was reaching from here to there, and about this much was blue. This is our life here on earth. The things we do, the things we want, then we die, and then all the rest is eternity with Christ. Don't let that little spot right there, don't give up. Don't give up. Stand firm. Stand with us. Stand with us. This is how to do it. Now, as we close, and please don't go home unchanged. I'm not here to fill up 20, 25 minutes of church time to make you feel good. That's not what God has called me to do. I'm an encourager, but that's not the reason. God has put some reminders in our heart to, number one, remember, it's all about Jesus. And it's a real deal, Jesus. When you say Jesus in your heart, lives change. When fear comes over you, physical fear, spiritual fear, fear comes over you, you say Jesus, you put that faith that you had on fear and you put the faith on Jesus, and things change. Waters part. Healing comes. Eyes become open. Lives become risen. Things happen. We can have all the rules we want, and it's not going to help us stay away from sin. But Jesus will. God has placed you. He chose you. Even if you're visiting here for the first time, it's not by chance. He chose you to be part of the church at Covington. And you're a vital piece of that wall. Stand firm. Stand firm. Please don't go home today without making a commitment. I'm asking for a commitment. I'm encouraging you. I'm asking you, make a commitment to your Lord. If you don't know this Jesus as your personal Savior, the first commitment you need to make is accept him in your heart, and you're going to see an amazing difference. Life will come into your heart, your life. What you thought you were living now, wait till you live with Jesus. It's amazing. Fantastic. If you do know Jesus, but you've allowed other things to kind of blur, I'm no judge. It's between you and God. But if it's one of those end day spirits that keep attacking us of lovers of self thing because it doesn't make me feel good, or I'm not happy, or I don't feel good about it, or I like it better when there are blue lights flashing instead of red, throw all that out, please. It's about Jesus. That's going to happen. Temptation is going to happen. It says the end days, it's going to hit the church. It's going to happen. We're going to wish, I've wished, we're all going to wish, it's going to hit us. Man, I wish everything was a lot better. I just don't feel good anymore. That's going to happen, but recognize it. Open your eyes, recognize it, put on. We heard the word of God. If it is a thing about self, toss it out, because it's about Jesus. And if you got to repent, you got to ask, or you got to commit yourself, or you say, Lord, let me try it another shot. Whatever you have to do, whatever the Spirit has told you to do already, please do it. We don't have time to dilly-dally. We're going to be hearing some more pastors coming next week. Daryl Hooper is going to return and bring the message. We're going to be hearing other pastors coming in and preaching. We need to have our ears sharpened, our eyes sharpened. We don't want to have our ears tickled, and he says something that makes me feel really good. Yeah, tickling the ear does feel good. It does feel good. Get that little finger and tickle the ear. It does feel good, but that's not what church is about. Church is about Jesus. So when we vote on the pastor who's going to be coming in, when we vote on who's going to be here, ask your spirit, is he preaching Jesus? Do I want to hear Jesus? Or am I just looking to feel good? We've got to ask ourselves, judge yourself. Judge yourself. Just stand up, please.